part tonight of what might very well be the largest political gathering in the history of Las Vegas, Nevada.
There has never been a thing like this that's ever happened in politics in the history of this country.
Hey guys, it's the Great Debates Podcast, and it's our Super Tuesday special.
Extra, extra! Great Debates, live from the election.
Wait, so it's a news?
That's a newsboy selling podcasts.
Oh, he's selling podcasts. Yeah, he's that's street. Cute.
Yeah. That's cool. I like that. I like
that. That's good. Can Trump be stopped? Will Bernie have a shot?
There you go.
Hey, good.
X-ray, X-ray. That was more like old-timey news guy. I feel like
well,
I lost it.
Well, you know, it's mixed up what's happening.
Let's dive right into not a micro, but just some...
Some political chit-chat.
Yes.
Reporting. Political we're chit-chat. Doing some real reporting.
This is
time.
Real. We're not joking
okay,
about this.
Okay, Medina and I were credited members of the press.
We are credentialed members of the news media.
We're media.
Now.
We're part of big media. And we were at the Trump rally in Las Vegas, Nevada, on a week ago, Monday.
What
we
the
were there.
Fuck happened?
Wow. What a show.
Yeah, so just set the scene for us. Like, let's get there. You walk in the doors to, where are you in the...
We're at South Point. It's like a big casino
right.
complex-y
but
type.
Off-strip.
It's far off-strip.
And just maybe to give people a little bit of time and place, we're recording this on the Saturday before Super Tuesday. It's February 27th.
Yeah.
And you guys attended this on...
Yes.
Monday, is that right?
Yes.
Monday the 22nd.
Yes.
It was the day before the Nevada caucuses.
Which he won in a relative landslide.
I think you could call it a
comfortably.
Landslide.
Yeah. Certainly did better than expected. And this was a couple... what were the key moments from this rally that our listeners might remember?
The key moments like the...
Yeah, didn't he... Weren't there a couple of sound bites that like kind of made the news?
Oh, yeah. The protester got thrown out.
Right.
And Trump said he wanted to punch him in the face. He wished it was back in the old days when he could punch a guy in the face.
Amazing. Amazing.
So that was good. That was kind of made news. We were in the media box and the media, that was like, they were like, he made news with that.
And what does that look like when he makes news, when you're in the media box?
A bunch of nerds typing on their laptops,
okay, so
basically.
It's pretty boring.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they were excited. It was cool.
Sure. Okay, so talk to us. Who did you meet? What does it look like? What's the food? What is the smells? What are people carrying in their pockets?
Great cues all. We were, so it was held in the Equestrian Center at South Point.
Okay.
They have a world-class equestrian center where they have like rodeos and farm equipment shows and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And we did some interviews because we were reporters and we had an obligation to report some news.
You took your membership in the Fourth Estate very seriously.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I had to do to get a media credential was go on their website, say I'm a reporter for the Great Debates News, boom. 24 hours before the event, they're like, here's where you got to be, show up at this time.
Beautiful.
Get ready to rock. By the way, Great Debates News subscribers have already received a report on this, a dispatch.
And how do you sign up for the Great Debates News?
Very on our website, greatdebates69.com. There's a lot of fun stuff going on over there.
Can we pause the whole conversation for a second?
Go.
I learned that I'm not signed up for the Great Debates News. Because the Great Debates News is a very democratic, institution. If it doesn't matter if you're in the podcast.
No, it's an opt-in program.
You
There's
still
no
have
automatic.
To
that's
go
right.
Go to our website and opt-in. So I'm going to sign up today.
Yeah.
And I'm encouraging all our listeners to do the same thing.
The old issues.
There's some great content. We're missing this great content.
You can read the old issues on Tiny Letter, I think, on our Great Debates Tiny Letter account.
By the way, go ahead, sign a buddy up.
Well, I don't know.
No? That. Is that legal?
I don't know if we're allowed to advocate that, but...
Oh, come on, guys.
You
All
only
right.
You get one newsletter a week. It's not going to swamp your inbox.
You didn't hear it from me, but sign a bunny up. Okay.
Okay. Trump. So we're at the equest. Me and Dan are pumped, right? Dan, you said you were more psyched than you've ever been for any rock concert.
Really?
As we were walking in, it was this air of excitement. There's all these people headed in the direction of the auditorium. There are signs that say Trump speech this way. They've got American flags on them. Now, mind you, we decided to go to this Trump rally less than 24 hours before the rally began.
Yes.
Okay.
Most of the media people there, they're just traveling with Trump all the time. They're on a thing, and we were
this
like...
This is just another stop on
yes,
the road.
Yes, exactly.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. We should also say Trump, if not unfairly, is sometimes critical of the media for not being upfront about their biases and whatever. So we should say that Dan and I, we are lean Democratic. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. We had some beers before going to the rally.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's fine. We were there to like get listeners to the podcast, get some news, whatever.
Now, an interesting thing happened after you guys attended, which I'm going to put in the form of a question eventually.
Okay.
Healy,
can't wait. Yeah.
You came to me after the event and said, I got to tell you, I'm a little bit worried that Medina genuinely likes Trump.
And
tonight, Medina and I happened to meet each other a few minutes before you got here. And Medina was like, I think Healy is actually into the guy, like actually likes him. So what's going on there? Does he have some sort of power?
The spirit of the rally is infectious. It's like a WWE show and you know who to root for.
It was amazing. Before he came out, they were doing the wave in the auditorium.
Right, yes.
If you're on my Instagram, you can see a video of this. The whole place is doing the wave before a political rally.
So you're smiling, you're having fun, you're swept up in the moment.
They're having hot dogs and nachos and M&M's.
Now I'm smelling it.
And then he comes out there and he's like, almost immediately he starts with the hits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's going to build that wall?
Oh, should we play a clip of this was like within 5 seconds of the beginning of the speech.
We're going to build the wall, and who's going to pay for that wall? I think we're kidding too, don't they, folks? Huh? We're not kidding. We're not going to be the dummies anymore, folks. We're going to be the smart ones.
Okay, so we're not going to be the dummies anymore. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Is this a direct appeal to dummies who feel they've been treated like dummies?
Well, it's an interesting thing where because this is just 2 days later. Or maybe a day later, he would go on to say he loves the poorly educated.
Yeah, he did in this speech.
After he won Nevada with the highly educated and the poorly educated, I love the poorly educated.
Yeah.
So
in this speech, he talked about that too. He was reading his results from South Carolina and he goes, I won the short people. I won tall people. I won the very educated. I won the medium educated. You could feel him getting to, how's he going to phrase this? I won the less well educated.
Right.
Next time, I guess he went full bore and was just like poorly educated.
I actually think that Trump deserves some credit for that sort of form of. I don't know what I'm trying to say other than I think it's smart for him to remind people just how much of a winner he is. His brand is winning, and for him to like come out and be like, I won across the board. Evangelicals, Ted Cruz is supposed to win them. Mm-hmm. I'm winning them. Yeah. Everyone's on board.
Your Trump impression is getting better and better.
Thank you so much. But it's basically like, you know, what I think like if Hillary did that, Hillary should come out and basically say like, look, I'm trying to be humble about this, but if you go to the betting sites, I'm 95% chance to win the nomination. I'm sorry, but it's effectively over. I love Bernie Sanders. He ran a great campaign, but the time has come. We're beyond the statistical probability.
But that's not her racket.
No, it's true. It's true, but I think like if everybody did a little more Trump, they might be a little more successful. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right.
Healy, you think in your life you should do a little more Trump?
Healy, you and I talked about this. How appealing it is to just hear over and over, we're going to win. We're going to win.
Yes.
In fact, I'll play you guys a quick clip that was near the end of the speech, and you'll see the power that this thought has.
We're going to start winning again. We're going to win on trade. We're going to win with the military. We're going to win at every single level. We're going to win, win, win. And I jokingly say, that we're going to win so much and maybe you're going to say, Mr. President, we're getting so bored and so tired of winning. Please don't win anymore. We're just tired. Let's go back to the old way. And I'll say, there's no way we're going to make it.
Okay. So we're going to be bored of winning is
an amazing idea. And I like that he's said this so often now that I think what we heard in the clip is him saying, you know, I've said it jokingly, but it is what I say now.
Yeah, the crowd know, they know this bit.
It's part of the thing. Healy, you maybe we've talked about this at some point, but didn't you have some takeaway from the Nixon speechwriting years about repetition of messages and the importance of that?
Yes, yeah, he told his speechwriters, like, when you are sick to the point of vomiting of putting something in a speech, that's the first time the American people hear it.
And I think Trump is seizing upon that hammering home of the same phrases over and over again.
Yeah, although don't they all do that?
They do, but there's something about...
But his are better.
His are a little stickier.
I will say, like, his... Yeah. What he sort of just rambles until he hits on one of his, like, 20...
So talk about that. Riffs. The speech itself. Yeah. What does it feel like?
He kind of meanders a bit, but then he gets to... Okay, he gets to Bo Bergdahl, right? The guy that was the subject of Serial Season 2, the American guy that walked off the base...
Is he a deserter? Is he psychologically disturbed?
Trump says we're going to throw him back disturbed. In Afghanistan. Maybe we'll give him a parachute. Maybe we won't.
Yeah, but let's send him back. Drop him right in the middle of the world. Fly over. Fly over. Fly over. Drop him. Maybe you give him a parachute. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Depends if we have an extra parachute. Probably we'd give him a parachute.
It's an interesting... We were talking about this right before the podcast. You would think... that his supporters might not love the idea of going against the code of leave no man behind.
They don't like this guy one bit. Also, like a lot
interesting.
Of the high percentage of the people we talk to, military or somehow associated, and all super mad about the VA. We talked to one lady who, like, her main issue was summed up in, like, Dan and I were dopes for not seeing the movie 13 Hours. Oh, the Michael Bay Benghazi.
Okay, so let's listen to that. Yeah.
Marilyn Faolari, local to Las Vegas, born in Houston, Texas.
Cool. Are you excited to see him debate Hillary Clinton?
Oh, well,
if it comes
yeah.
to that.
Yeah.
Do you think she's a pretty good debater?
I think he will probably tear her to shreds that you won't even know what hit her.
So. Cool.
I would advise those who have not seen 13 Hours go see it, then make an opinion. Create an opinion of what Hillary really is.
Mm-hmm. Did you like that movie?
I did.
I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know. I guess it has a take that's not pro-Hillary.
I certainly haven't seen it either. It didn't have the expected impact that it was going to, I thought. Whoa. But it's interesting that they'll seize on anything as sort of evidence that... I don't know. I don't...
Think she kind of thought this was sort of like a documentary film.
Hmm.
Oh, that you guys were doing? Or 13 Hours.
No, 13 Hours, yeah.
Yes, there is possible that Trump voters are not the keenest discerners between the difference of fiction and nonfiction.
We did talk to a decent number of people who were just there to, like, see the show.
Interesting.
You know? Like, there weren't... That kind of calmed me down a bit.
What describe those people? These are not necessarily even likely voters or supporters.
Yeah, they're just, they say, are you here to see, do you love Trump? No, I'm just going to see them all. I wanted to see what this is all about.
Yeah, they're sizing him up.
I see.
But then we talked to a guy who was wearing, like, basically he was dressed like a founding father.
Oh, okay.
This is a good
Let's clip. Play a clip with from this guy.
Do you want to say your name and where you're from?
My name's Gary Wilson. I live here in Las Vegas.
Cool. And you're a Trump fan?
Yes. Can you tell me what I carry in my pocket?
The Constitution of the United States.
Therefore, that's where it all lies.
Cool.
And the reason I wear what I wear, go ahead and describe what I'm wearing.
You're wearing like a red and blue tricolor hat.
A patriot uniform.
Patriot uniform.
We did have a revolution in this country, and this was it. Okay? The reason I wear this is I want everyone to understand that true patriots... We stand by this document. It is not a living document. It is a contract. And that government needs to be dissolved if it no longer recognizes that contract. Therefore, that's why I'm here. I want his people and him to know that we are watching. And yes, I will support him wholeheartedly, 100%, as long as that is the basis of it all.
Cool. thanks very much.
So this guy really led the
This is the reporter's dream. Because I don't know. What am I going to ask anybody? I kept asking people, like, do you think Trump is a good debater? Can we talk about debating? Also felt very awkward anytime anybody was like, where are you guys from? Do Great Debates Podcast. How do I find it? It's at greatdebates69.com is where you find
it. They love it. Look, if you've gone to a Trump rally, you're used to a little ribaldry.
True. Nobody was digging that deep. Interesting thing, we did try to interview we saw a Hispanic woman, went over and were like, can we talk to you? And she was like, actually, I'm a reporter.
Oh, okay.
She was for La Opinion, the Spanish language newspaper.
Let's go back to the Patriot for a second. Can you describe
Will I keep up with him? Will we be friends? I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not what I was curious about necessarily, but I find that interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Describe... here's what I'm curious about. The outfit he's wearing.
Yes.
Give me an image. Is this a thrift store Patriot costume?
No.
Did he shell out the big bucks for it? What does his wig look like?
No wig. Okay. Tri-corner hat. Fairly flamboyant, but high quality and kept clean and in good condition. Not thrift store. Like decent level, shelling out some bucks Halloween costume of a founding father.
Great. Okay. I sensed some... I couldn't tell whether it was aggression on his part or not. Was it a hostile at all the way he says, what's in my pocket, that kind of thing? Hostility or no? Friendly?
I mean, I feel my perception, Dan, weigh in, of course, but I think a lot of the people we were interviewing were like, here's the media, us. They are dumb. They don't know what they're doing. They're interviewing us on just a shitty mic coming out of an iPhone. Like, Trump is right about these jerks. so we didn't funny. Do a great job on that. By the way, we do have a pal in the media, listener Ali V, helped us out tremendously. Thanks very much to her.
Shout out to her. Ali was great.
Great reporter. Awesome. Doing a great job.
Man.
Couple times in the speech, Trump encourages the crowd to boo the people in the press box, which they do enthusiastically.
And what is that like to be in the press box?
I mean, I was kind of like getting a kick out of it. It's probably not great if you do it night after night after night in the same
press
people.
Box is right dead center behind the front rows that are facing Trump. And so you're in the middle of the auditorium on the floor, and essentially all 12,000 people were.
There's psyched about being
it's a gladiator. He wants
if he could, he
would have members of the press fight each other to the death.
Yeah, or be torn to pieces by the crowd, maybe.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, any other interesting discoveries, people, surprises?
What was your takeaway from the whole thing? I mean, did you come away and like synthesize this, you know, grand vision of Trump or what
do you couple of things I took away. The hatred of Hillary that's out there is, I had no idea.
When people talk about why they hate Hillary, is it just sort of like a gut kind of like, gut level, I hate this woman, she can't be president, or do they mention specifics?
Benghazi is big, uh-huh. But then also, like, if you ask somebody there, why do you hate Hillary, they're just like, they look at you like, why do you hate Jack the Ripper? Like,
right,
what?
Okay.
I have to list every terrible thing she's ever done, this crooked, outrageous, ridiculous, a lot of people wearing Hillary for Jail t-shirts.
Hillary for Jail?
Hillary for Jail 2016, popular tee.
Hillary for Jail 2016.
They were prepared to vote for Hillary
clever,
for jail.
But I like it.
Hillary, you're fired.
Yeah,
that was Hillary, you're fired. Great.
Hillary, you're fired. Yeah, they don't like the whole Benghazi thing that really came down on her shoulders. As far as they're concerned, they don't like the email server thing at all.
Yes,
I'm impressed that folks
one,
understand
yeah.
the yeah, email yeah. server situation as well as they do. I don't really understand it very well.
Yeah, we talked to a guy who'd been in the Air Force who gave us like a lengthy, like, if I took a classified document home, I'd be in Fort Leavenworth.
Interesting.
Basically talking about that for a while. Just a general sense of being screwed and dicked over, and finally this guy is coming to like call it like he sees it and
right.
giving it to everybody. Which, you know, the people I talked to, all I could find common ground with, you know, some of them were a little wacky, but like, I get it. They're PO'd.
He's doing a bit, right?
He's at least 50% doing a bit.
I think it's got to be more than 50% a bit.
It's a bit that's become real. I don't know.
A bit he didn't expect to go over this
How much is the audience in on the bit, not like...
It seems to me that what he's proving is that no one cares what you say.
Yes.
They just care how aggressively and macho-ly you say it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting... this brings to mind an interesting thing I heard recently on the 538 podcast that they're doing, their election podcast, which was they were asking, like, a survey came out that's basically asked, like, what qualities do you look for in a leader? And they were discussing whether people actually look for the qualities, are actually looking for qualities in a leader, or are you looking for a person who you like, and then you sort of retrofit your answers based on that person. And I believe it was Nate Silver, his takeaway was like, you ever go to those, I'm now paraphrasing another podcast, this is sad, you just could just go listen to that podcast, but paraphrasing, he said, you ever go to those websites where it's like, take these 38 questions and see how closely, we'll tell you how closely you're aligned with the beliefs of every candidate.
Uh-huh.
And then it's like, okay, you're 98% Bernie Sanders, you're 88% with Hillary. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He was like, that is not how people vote. It's a very, like, it's almost like dating. There's a gut level feeling. There's weird, and someone else used the phrase like political pheromones. There's something about like, no one, I actually think Trump is right when he says that, like, illegal immigration, I don't think people out there were going, like, where's the guy who's going to build the wall? But then he made it a thing, and people liked it, and they're like, because he's going to build a wall. That's why I like him.
Yes.
Haven't you heard him? It's people raping. The drugs.
His swagger about the wall is hypnotizing me.
So what did you guys hear
like
about
in the last debate, right? They're like, Trump, the president of Mexico, says no fucking way we're going to pay for this wall. This guy says no way. It's just not going to happen. They got three or four. Trump says, I tell you what, they're going to build that wall. We're going to make, they're going to pay for it. Oh, I'm almost convinced.
No, he said it just got 10 feet taller.
It got 10 feet taller.
It's crazy.
Because what's the point of that? It's the F word. It's amazing.
Okay, Dave, let's say you had to debate Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You're Hillary Clinton sending you in as a surrogate. How do you go about attacking this guy? Where do you, what's your strategy?
That's a great question. I think that you got to, Well, I'd say, I think you just got to go crazy. Here's my first tactic is go crazy.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'd start by saying this man's ex-wife accused him of raping him. He's disqualified.
Great.
He's committed a heinous crime.
Great.
He should be disqualified.
No one's brought that up.
Some people have brought it up. I don't know if it's true, but I'm sorry. It is true that she alleges that he raped her.
Great. But nobody's brought that up in a debate.
There's a very weird wall built around marital rape. People, in fact, she didn't even consider it rape because she thought because I'm a wife. I mean, this is kind of gross, horrible stuff we're talking about. I'm sorry, but it should be discussed, I think. I do think he is a, you know, sexual offender, as Hillary's husband is, which is less material to Hillary's campaign. Regardless, I think you got to take huge swings and try to knock him off his game. And then I think when he gets crazy, the bigger he goes, I'd try to get as calm as possible.
Okay.
I don't know if that would work or not, but that's my first thought. What are you thinking?
I think you talk about him as the worst possible version of what he is. You're like, this guy is... You've seen this guy a million times. He's a used car salesman. He's the jerk down the street. He's the guy who fixes your plumbing and the pipes burst.
Well,
he's a huckster.
You know what, Healy? I think you're overthinking it because the same way... No, I'm sorry. I think you're on to something, but that you're using too many words almost. Mm. One of the things that Trump did so effectively was... Jeb Bush, low energy. Ted Cruz, loser. He's a loser.
Mm-hmm.
Liar.
Branded. Yeah. Branded them.
Branded them. These like words that just killed people.
Yeah.
Character assassination, just like quick, punchy.
Linguistic kill shots.
Yes. Where does that come from?
This guy Scott Adams that draws Dilbert.
Yes.
He has a blog and he's been talking for a long time about how Trump is going to win. He's amazing. Master persuader. And he talks about how he uses linguistic kill shots on everybody.
Right. So if I were... I think, like, if you were debating Trump, I would say just call him a used car salesman 100 times.
Okay.
This guy's a used car salesman.
Yeah.
He tells you. Look at his tie.
Great.
It's bright and shiny.
Yes.
This guy's a joke.
Yeah.
I also think that Trump...
Even just cars, it doesn't have to be used. Car salesman.
Used car salesman is pretty good.
Even salesman. No one likes a salesman.
Even car. This guy's a car. I think that, like, I would hire a psychologist who would try to verify that he's a sociopath,
mm-hmm.
like using the best criteria we have, because mm-hmm. I think there's an excellent chance that he is. He has some of the real hallmarks of psychopathy,
mm-hmm.
Including like just like wanting his name on everything, being attracted to big shiny things and overly grandiose and not being able to see the negative side of things.
I think that's completely forgivable amongst the crowd that is at these rallies right. and voting for
you
him.
You might be right.
I really think that's a wrong turn.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, Medina, advise Hillary. How do you come at this guy?
There is no factual engagement possible with Donald Trump, mm-hmm. right? So there's no going back to who said what or what. It's all forging ahead yes. about what a lunatic yes. this person is. I'll tell you, my takeaway from this whole thing is that the word billion and its use is the real kind of like barometer for who's going to win the presidential campaign. I think the person who says the word billion the most times is going to win.
I love that.
We need 538 to count the number of times the word billion has been said in the Republican debates and correlate that with who's the front runner, because I have a feeling that Trump is winning because he says billion a lot.
I mean, I 58 probably,
billion, a 73 billion. He right, says billions. He says it, here, let's listen to how he says billion.
Okay.
$58 billion a year.
It's just beautiful. It rolls right out. It makes me savor. I want the money. I think this guy is an economic genius. He must know something that I don't know. He's definitely dealt in billions before. He understands what a billion is. I want a billion. There's a TV show called Billions that I watch.
Saying numbers is compelling.
It's a big number. It's a great number. We all
sounds good.
Billionaire. Billionaire. I have many billions.
I turn a million into many, many billions of dollars. Billions. That sounds cool.
That's
my take. It's a Social Network thing.
Yes.
Yeah. He knows what's cool. A billion dollars.
Cool. A billion dollars is cool.
A billion dollars is cool.
I have an exit question for
yes.
you guys.
Okay.
It's kind of a two-part question.
Okay.
The question is, are you scared of Donald Trump? And I mean two things by that. A, are you scared that he could be the president of the United States? And B, if he became the president of the United States, are you scared of what might actually happen?
Not scared of him being the president of the United States. Don't think it's going to happen. Think when people really get down to like, he's going to live in the White House and be in charge of the FBI and the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, and they're going to be briefing him on the aircraft carriers and shit. I don't think
what do you think his chances are today of being president of the United States?
15 to 20%?
You're
don't know.
So wrong.
Okay.
It's at least 25%.
Scared of, yeah. I mean, he's getting a lot of gun-toting people riled up in a way that he's just already doing damage just by his demeanor and the ugly stuff he says in public, and the, you know, kids are watching this. Yeah, he's already doing a lot of damage to the country. Yes.
Interesting. Deans, you scared, bud?
So wait, I'm sorry, Healy, I just want to ask a follow-up question. You're not scared that because you think there's no chance that he'll be elected, or but what, if he is, are you scared of that scenario, I think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll just be like Berlusconi style. It'll be degrading and embarrassing. I don't think he'll nuke anybody, but no. I think it'll just be degrading to the world, really.
Yeah, Berlusconi is maybe the closest the world has seen to this kind of
thing. America is still hanging on to a shred of the idea that we're like the shining city and, mm-hmm. you know, we're the beacon of democracy. We've deeply, deeply eroded it. If Trump happens, there's no more claiming that America is like a special, you know, idealistically better country than any other, right?
It's well, game other than the fact that our leaders will more than ever be claiming that we're idealistically better than we've ever been,
yeah,
and the greatest country on
game
earth.
Game will be done.
Winning.
Right?
Winning all the time.
Maybe our thing will be winning.
Winning, duh. Hashtag tiger blood.
It, you know, 4 years goes by fast.
Wow.
The sanguine Medina, always.
I love it.
And I'm not scared. I think it could get weird, right?
Yeah.
It could make a lot of folks uncomfortable. I think, I mean, Healy, I think you read, and I read the same article about the Republican Party elite and how they're just scrambling and freaking out because they've failed to contain Trump. They have no idea what to do. They're just, they're resigned to it. At the same time, like, the congressional approval ratings are, like, lower than they've... These people don't have a leg to stand on in terms of criticizing this guy.
Anybody that was putting up Jeb Bush doing it, these guys have a lot to answer for.
Give me a break. I don't know. This is what I think we... It's called being hoisted on your own petard, right? Or something like that.
I think you and I both, I'm looking at Dan, have a sense of the impish and a delight in rooting for the storm to be as big as possible when you're a kid. And there's some part of us that's like, let's see how crazy it can go. And I think this is a very American feeling.
Like, yeah, for sure. I was there. I had that feeling as recently, like a few days ago. And then he won Nevada and his like chances of winning the GOP nomination went up to about 75%. And that's when I'm like a little scared. I think you do the math and there's like, I think it's like a 30% chance that he could be president. That's terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, there's also a chance I like die in a trench in Syria fighting Putin.
Yes, but it's not 30%.
That's like 4%.
I think maybe you need to be better educated about numbers.
You don't think there's a 4% chance I die in Trump's rage war against Putin?
No. No, I really don't.
What percentage? I see what you're saying.
So you're saying, what are the chances that like Russia attacks us?
Yeah, or Trump attacks them or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to die in a rage war.
Thanks, that's cool.
Despite all your rage, you will still not die.
Right, gotcha.
Sorry.
Guys, write us, tweet us.
Trump us.
Yeah, let's talk about Trump, guys. Tell us what you think. Give us your opinions. Suggest some tops. And we'll see you in a couple days for our regularly scheduled debate program.
A proper app. A true proper, we'll actually debate some stuff.
Okay, talk to you soon.